I thank the Lord for all that he means to me. Thinking of that song, Christ is Mine, that's a high testimony, isn't it? That he is all in all to me. Christ is mine, my heart's dear treasure, greater than our earthly store. Is that a testimony that a celebrity has? If they don't know the Lord? Or a sports figure, do you ever hear them saying, I'm totally satisfied. I'm totally, I have something that's more than I can imagine, and I'm happy for it. We just don't hear that too often, do we? But he is all in all to me, and I appreciate that. So I want us to think about in this message tonight, what our five senses do for us. And it helps us in many, many ways. And the senses are the touch, the smell, the sight, the hearing, and the tasting. And all of those things make us aware of our surroundings. It helps us to know when the curdled milk is not presentable to drink anymore. It helps us to know if something is rancid. It helps us to know if something is fresh. All these things, our senses are working all the time. They're on duty all the time. And it's the world, the perceptions that we have around us. So I want us to think about the five senses and how it helps us to know when something is genuine. So I want to think about genuine. Okay, so what does genuine mean?
Real.
It means something is real. So I have... Bree is listening, isn't she? So I have here some denominations here. And I want you to tell me what is real. So I would like to buy a candy bar, although a candy bar is not going to be bought with a dollar anymore. It's going to be bought with more like $1.50. But we're just pretending like a dollar is going to buy me a candy bar. So, why not?
Not the right color.
Not the right color. It's green. It says 10 on it. It's too flimsy, isn't it? My grandsons love it. They feel like they have $1 million when they throw these around the living room. So, is it real? Is it genuine? Will it buy me what I want? No, because the sound, it just the looks of it. It doesn't even have the... Okay, so this next one here. What about this? Does that look... I may have to hand it to Butch.
Looks closer.
Looks closer?
Looks a little dark.
A little dark? What do you think? The feeling of it?
It's like a photocopy.
Which you're not supposed to do, by the way. But anyway.
We won't turn it in.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, it looks like a photocopy.
Can I buy a candy bar with this?
You would probably get in trouble.
There's that trouble. Handcuffs would be ready. What gave you the clue? Looks
too dark.
Too dark? Well, goodness, I'm going to change my sentence. The texture. And it doesn't have, it smells like photocopy ink. Okay, well, now I have this one. What do you think about this one?
That one looks pretty good.
Okay, Ronald, you feel of it and tell me what you think.
Thanks.
You go right ahead. You're not going to buy a candy bar, yet, but so what gave you the clue?
Everything about it.
It smells like money. You know, it does have a smell.
It just has the right feel. Yes. The right color.
It has the right colors. Uh-huh. Yeah. And if it is continuous. Counterfeit, they did a good job. Is that it? No, but it has you can feel there's the threads in there. There's the silk threads. There's something real about that. And do you know that we have the duty to present ourselves as real. And we can look like it, but if it's not real, do you know the oddest thing is the world can pick out a counterfeit. They can pick out a counterfeit Christian quicker than a Christian can. Do you know that? Because their senses are looking for something genuine. They want to find something genuine in you. So that's what I want to talk about. So Luke, the 20th chapter. We're going to talk about some people. And Jesus was very unhappy with them. He came to this earth and he catered to Zacchaeus. He catered to the adulterous woman. He catered to the woman that washed his feet. It made the religious people mad. Why? He healed on the Sabbath day. Why did it make them mad? Because they were counterfeit Christians. They were counterfeit religious people. And just as a warning, let your Christian experience be a reality, not just a religion. So I want to talk about that. So Luke, the 20th chapter and the 46th verse, it says, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and in the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation." These were religious people. These were very educated religious people. But there was something to be said about their religion. That's all it was. There was not a reality in it. And Jesus was saying, beware of them. You watch them. And you know, he never said that to Zacchaeus. He never said, beware of that adulterous woman who's been caught in her sins. He didn't say that to the woman who had been delivered of many devils. He didn't say that to them because he knew that underneath all of that sin was something genuine reaching out to him. But when you cover yourself with so much religion, that becomes your God. It really does. That becomes your golden calf. You've built something that is fake. You have built something that is not genuine. And I'm here to tell you, your brother and sister in Christ might not even see it, but the world will, because their senses are still there. We sometimes sugarcoat ours, maybe by the love we have one another, and I want us to have that love. That's not what I'm saying. But I also know sometimes we can get into a place of complacency and not realize that my feelings toward the Lord is just a fake. It says, you know, I've always said, your life should be conducted in such a way that you never have to say, I'm a Christian. Did you know that? They should know it by the way you act, by the way you conduct yourself, by the places you go, by the things you talk about. They should know that you are a Christian. You shouldn't have to say, hello, I am a Christian. I want you to know I am a Christian. I don't think you should ever have to say it. You should live in such a way that they are automatically drawn by the fact that you are a Christian. You have something. And then Luke, the 18th chapter, this is very familiar. But I just want you to think about what this means. The genuine article, having a genuine salvation, a genuine experience with the Lord, not a fake one. So it's in Luke, the 18th chapter and the 10th verse. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. There's almost a mockery in what he's saying. Notice how many times he says, I. And you notice when Jesus was talking about it, he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God at all. I thank thee. I am not as other men are. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you know, his one major flaw was he did not see his need. There's part of that genuine article. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican saw his need. When we fail to see our need, we've just become a religious person. A religious person is not a saved one. It's just a fake. Matthew, the 7th chapter. We also have seven and 16, 3:20. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that was giving an admonition as to how we should examine other people and those that come in as false prophets and fakes. Ye shall know them by their fruits. But I also want to turn that inward and go back to that 16th verse. They shall know you by your fruits. They'll know you. They'll know whether you're a fake or not. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by your fruits they shall know you. I remember one time someone went to a local lumber yard, and they were getting ready to build a house. And they were saying, who would you recommend to build your house? To the lumber, I think he was a manager at that time, he's just an employee. And they said, well, I'll tell you who I wouldn't use. And he named the name, and it was a pastor of a congregation. He said, I would not use him. I would not recommend him. He's not faithful. And he says one thing and he does another, and he's just not dependable. And I thought, oh, that was the world examining the fruit, and ended up being they hired that man anyway, and it was a very hard building to build. It was very hard. But I thought, you know, how interesting that they didn't know that they knew the same person, that they were even thinking about the same person. But the world knew that fruit, and that they were correct. They weren't dependable. It was very hard building to build. They said one thing and did another. And I just thought, what a horrible example was that. They knew their fruit, and it was a minister among us. And I have always sorrowed over that. How did that happen? Why did that happen? So 1 John, the 4th chapter, let it not be named among you, I guess is the best thing to say. 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So who is in you? Is the Lord in you, or the world in you? The Lord is great, and he's awesome, and he's worthy to be served, but he will not come in if you don't invite him. He will not be there if you're not willing to obey his commandments. He will not be present in your life if all you're doing is doing it for show. If you want to impress the saints, if you want to impress the world, if you want to impress your employers, if you want to impress all of those, be genuine. Be genuine. Be real. This is who I am. I serve the Lord. I love him. He's more important to me. He satisfies my every longing. He's everything to me, and I love him. So I want to talk about Peter. Peter is one of my heroes of the Bible. And the reason he is because he failed. Why would that bring an example? Because we have failed. And I look at Peter and I think, Peter, the Lord was trying to talk to you, but you just couldn't get it. At that point, really, Peter was just a religious person. That's just all he was. And Jesus had told him, Simon, Simon, listen to what I'm saying. Satan desires to sift you as wheat, which is in that the same chapter and the further up, the few verses up. And Peter said, I'll follow you to the death. I'll follow you to prison. Did he? Just a few verses later, he denies Jesus three times because Peter only had a religion. He had followed Jesus. He had saw all the things that had happened. He said, and he even took a sword. You remember, he's trying to protect Jesus. He cut off Malchus's ear. And he just didn't understand it because he was just being religious. It just looked good to him. Jesus had said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That just sounded good to him. You know, he was a strong man. He had muscle on top of muscle because his job was, it was just made that way. That's who he was. And because of that, he could be a little thick-headed. He just couldn't see beyond Peter. But when he denied three times, he understood, I don't have what it takes. I don't have reality in this. And in that 62nd verse brought beautiful hope. It said, Peter went out and wept bitterly because he knew now who he was. I'm a fake. I am a fake. Judas Iscariot, unfortunately, did not realize he was a fake until it was too late. And these were the ones that Jesus called. Jesus didn't call them because he thought they were fakes, because he knew they had a heart to serve him. But they were following all the rules in all the right places and crossing their T's and dotting their I's and making sure they were doing everything perfect, that they forgot the very spirit of who God was, and they hadn't embraced that part. So when Peter went out and wept bitterly, he came back a changed man because he was one of the first to visit the tomb. So I'm here to tell you there is hope for you. If all it's ever been is a shell, if all it's ever been is a fake, if all it's ever been is, what am I supposed to do? What does the saints teach? It better be more than just that. You better have something inside of you that will last the test of time, that will last through the life's ups and downs, that will give you hope and strength when things are good and when things are bad. The Lord wants a real Christian. The world's full of fake ones. But Jesus wants you to be real. He wants you to be who you are and to admit where you are at. And that's what Peter finally did. He admitted, he saw for himself what he really, really was. And you know, the Lord gave him great power after that. Because if you know, on the day of Pentecost, who's the one that preached? Peter. A month and a half later, how many days was it? 40 days later, he was the one that preached. And the Lord had given him power because he got over Peter. That's the problem. I think sometimes we just get so involved in our own minds. And sometimes I just want to say, just get over yourself. Just get over yourself. You're not that great. And you need a Savior like everybody else does. I need a Savior. We all need the Lord. And if we just are just so embracing the good things of God and how he's blessing us, and I must be living right because he's blessing me. Are you real or are you not? Examine that for yourself. Now, the final one was a real Christian, and I appreciate this example too. Acts, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. We're going to talk about Stephen. Stephen, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of the Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Why? Because it wasn't of himself. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all Stephen was presenting was the great salvation of Jesus Christ. But they were so involved and enamored with Jerusalem, with customs, with traditions, with all the things that they had done for so many years, a couple of thousand years, they were so ingrained with that when there was the Spirit of Christ that was taught, that was outside the box of all of those rigid laws, they freaked out, is what it is. And they were saying, he's speaking blasphemous words. And Stephen was only showing Christ. Because look at that last verse. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. They're now responsible. And you know, you go on over, didn't change their minds, made them mad. And I'm thinking, makes you mad that the truth has been brought forth? Makes you mad that Jesus healed the withered hand on a Sabbath day? Why would you get mad at that? If it had been your withered hand, you'd been very thankful for that. But they were so caught up, and it was a Sabbath day, and they worshiped that more than they worshiped the spirit that Christ had, which was the Holy Ghost. And you know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in that, and it's a very big dangerous thing, because we forget what the Spirit of Christ was. When they brought the adulterous woman to him, they had caught her in the very act. And Jesus said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Do you realize that would have given Jesus the opportunity to cast the first stone? Because he was without sin. But he would not. He did not. He was not going to follow that protocol that they had and they'd been so entrenched with. And he started writing something on the ground. And I've often wondered, what was he writing on the ground? Was it just doodling little pictures? Or was he starting to write down hints of the sins that they had committed, because he knew every one of them? Did he just mention a name that somebody had ousted or cheated, or a woman that they had been with? You know, what did he write on the ground? Whatever it was, they went away one by one because of their guilt and because they were fake. But Jesus stood up, and the adulterous woman was trembling because she knew she only had a few seconds to live, because this man could kill her. And when he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. You know, there's a lot of people that like to hang on the neither do I condemn thee. But Jesus did say, go and sin no more. It gave her a release from her previous sins and a release of sinning at all. And I look at that and I thought, that was the Spirit of Christ. He didn't come to destroy the world. He came that each one would have great salvation. And it is a wonderful thing. So when they were still mad at Stephen, and Stephen had only been catching them in their fakery, I guess you'd say, their false fronts, I guess is the right way to say that. They were mad. They were cut to the heart. Who are you to tell us what we are? Which really proved what they were, didn't it? Violence? Violence? They were overcome by violence? By this man just preaching the word? Because he didn't grab them by their throats, or he didn't take a knife to them and say, you either repent or else. He didn't. He presented the law of Christ to them, and they couldn't stand it because of their own guilt. So they thrust him out of the city, and they stoned him. And Stephen was a genuine article because he said, Lord, don't send them to damnation because of me. They've got other things they're dealing with. They're under the hand of an oppressive enemy called the devil. Don't hold this against them, because I'm getting ready to meet you. It's my ticket out, and I'm okay with that. Do you know, I'm always amazed at how that was Stephen's beautiful words. Stephen, the countenance of an angel, and yet when we get wounded or hurt, we hold that. They hurt me. And they stoned Stephen. And sometimes I wonder, are you hurt, wounded so much because you don't have the genuine article? Perhaps. Are you wounded because you've been caught in your own guilt? Maybe. Doesn't mean that we don't get hurt. I do realize that we do. But whenever you give it to the Lord, He'll take care of it. When you give it to Him, that forgiveness flows out. And you're no longer holding that person accountable for the wrong that they did. And they probably did something wrong. I'm not here to justify that part either. But I'm here to say, when you have the Lord within you, it supersedes your own hurts. Stephen was hurting. They were stoning him. I can't imagine. I've been hit by a hailstone one time, and I thought that hurt pretty bad. But I'm just saying, I didn't have someone throwing rocks at me because they hated me. But the gift that he was giving them was Christ, because he was a genuine article. And I do believe that when you become truly part of God's kingdom, your reactions are going to be more like Christ. And when you find that your reactions are not, then go back and examine. Go out and weep bitterly. Go out and examine and say, Lord, I'm not where I thought I was. So would you please help me? I desire you to pray for me.